Okay, so we're going to, tonight's share is going to be on the topic of Sibri Tzias Mitzrayim, I think we mentioned. And I particularly want to focus on the perspective that I think emerges a little bit from a very agav comment of the Ramban in Sefer HaMitzvos, where he makes a certain comparison. And I think that I want to suggest that the comment that he makes, which probably consciously was meant to be something a little bit more peripheral, is really a very reflects a very deep, profound understanding of the Ramban about the interconnection between certain topics, which illuminates the Haggadah. That sounds very abstract, but we'll explain what we mean in just a minute. Okay, so let's start with the Ramban, and basically mostly we'll be revolving around the Rambam and Ramban, not in a contrasting way, but as I think Rishonim, who really penetrated deeply the themes of Yetzias Mitzrayim and Sibri Tzias Mitzrayim, and that will be our focus mostly this evening. So I want to begin with the following Ramban. The Ramban that we're going to start with is about a totally different topic. The Ramban in, as you know, wrote a commentary to the Rambam's Sefer HaMitzvos. The Rambam counted 613 mitzvos, split them up between mitzvos haseh and mitzvos los haseh. And the Ramban, when he had something to comment on, either to endorse and to add or often to criticize, has hasagos on the Rambam's Sefer HaMitzvos. He also took issue with the Rambam's classification here and there. He thought that there were certain mitzvos that the Rambam counted which were superfluous, which should not be counted for various reasons. And therefore, since he agreed with the number of 613, he also felt that the Rambam omitted certain mitzvos. So the number 613 is agreed upon, but how you complete that number is debated. So every time the Ramban thinks that the Rambam overstepped, he has to supply, an alternative. So he has a double criticism, things that the Rambam shouldn't have counted and things that the Rambam should have counted. Okay, so in the end of the Mitzvah Saseh and in the end of the Mitzvah Lo Saseh, the Ramban has a small list of the mitzvos that the Rambam omitted. So if you look here at page 2, you'll see Hasagas HaRamban, the Sefer HaMitzvos, the Rambam Shikchas HaEsin, when the Rambam made a mistake, according to the Ramban, and forgot to count one of the mitzvahs HaSeh. And this one is Mitzvah Tesvav. So it is on a completely different topic on the surface, and that is the mitzvah of Birchas HaTorah. The Gemara says in Masachet Brachos that Minayin, how do you know that you make a bracha lefaneha? When it comes to Talmud Torah, that before you study Torah, you have to make a bracha. The Gemara quotes a pasuk from the end of Devarim, Kishem Hashem Ekra, Havu Godel Lelokeinu. It's an interesting topic in its own right. We're not going to get too enmeshed in this part of the topic. And therefore, the Ramban, based on that Gemara, suggests that since there's a pasuk in the Torah which is invoked as the source of Birchas HaTorah, therefore, it should be counted, namely Birchas HaTorah should be counted in the mitzvos Aseh alongside, for example, of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. So there's a mitzvah to study Torah, and there's another mitzvah, and that is the mitzvah to make a bracha in advance, Birchas HaTorah. The Rambam disagrees. The Rambam makes it perfectly clear in the Yad HaChazakah that while it's important to make the bracha, that's unequivocal in the Gemara, that you're supposed to make brachas on Torah in the morning. We all make this bracha in the morning, right? Lasok b'divrei Torah, al divrei Torah, if you have the Sephardic nusach, and then of course, v'harivna, and asher b'chor b'anim b'kalo amim, there's a whole discussion. The Gemara's discussion about the Makor and the Chiv to say Birchas HaTorah is in Brachos Taf Chaf Aleph Amid Aleph, but the Gemara in Daf Yud Aleph in Brachos has a whole discussion about these three Brachos and what happens, for example, if you don't say them. So the Gemara says that you can fulfill the requirement of Birchas HaTorah with the introduction to Kriyas Shema Avraham, which the text of which in the end focuses very much on the matters of Limud HaTorah. So there's a requirement of Birchas HaTorah. However, the Rambam says that the citation of Kishem Hashem Ekra Havu Godel Elokeinu is really an asmachta bi'alma, and this is only a rabbinic obligation. After all, we don't really find too many brachos that are daraisa. The only bracha that is basically agreed upon to being a bracha daraisa is Birchas HaMazon, right? Ve'chalta v'savata uveirachta, as Hashem Elokecha. So Birchas HaMazon, when you eat bread, a full meal, so kedei svia, then you're obligated to make a bracha achrona min haTorah. But the bracha rishonas that we say are very important to make them, but they're only midrabanan. There is a view in the Rishonim that maybe Birchas HaMotzi might be Doraisa, but that's very minority view. It's not a mainstream view at all. Most bracha, almost all brachas are Doraisa, with the exception of Birchas HaMazon, and according to the Ramban, Birchas HaTorah is another exception. And indeed, the Gemara in Brachos, Taf Chaf Aleph, which quotes Kishem Hashem Ekra, Havu Godel Elokeinu, which the Ramban is invoking, basically derives bracha rishona, Birchas HaTorah, from bracha achrona of food, of Birchas HaMazon. So the Ramban's view is that there is a requirement doraisa of bracha rishona Birchas HaTorah, and that in that sense it is similar to Birchas HaMazon, and the Rambam disagrees. And this is the Ramban here.
What about Birchas Kohanim?
Well, Birchas Kohanim isn't really that kind of a bracha, right? Right, Kosavarchu, but it's not the, it's not the, Madveya Shetivu Chachamim Bebracha, it's not the typical kind of bracha. It's an Amira, and it's not a bracha that everybody says, it's a bracha that the Kohanim, and it's in the context of the Avoda and the Mikdash, which is why it is where it is, Kosavarchu is B'nai Yisrael, so that's really a different kind of a bracha. Okay. So this is what the Ramban says, if you look here on number 27, just to get the flavor in the beginning. Mitzvah shenitztavinu, lehodos lishmo yizbarach b'chaleh shenikr b'torah. It's an obligation to thank the Rabbonu Shel Olam every time we learn Torah. Ala tova hagadola sh'asalanu, on the great good deed that he did for us. Sh'asalanu b'tziso torasenu eilenu v'hodienu hamasim harutzuyim lefanav, by giving us the Torah and providing us, this will be very important as a parallel, with a direction in life. The Torah is content. It isn't just, an intellectual exercise, but it's values, it's principles, it's directives. It's a way to turn, a mechanical life into a spiritually meaning life, into a transcendent existence. And as such, we should be appreciative of that. We should have Hakaras HaTov, but not, as we'll explain, not just Hakaras HaTov on a superficial level, but on a very profound one, to understand, in other words, fully the magnitude, the opportunities that have been provided for us by the giving of the Torah, and to express that before we learn Torah, or before we encounter it. That's Hodiyana Masim HaRitzuyim Lefanav, Shbahem Dinchal Chai Olam Abba. The language of the Ramban is really just very beautiful. The kasher nitztavina bebracha achar kol achila, just as we are obligated to make a bracha, everybody understands the purpose of Birchas HaMazon, right? That's physical sustenance, right? Without physical sustenance, life, existence, couldn't go on. So everybody understands v'achalta v'savato v'erachta, and we all understand why that's doraisa. So too, kein nitztavinu bazeh. So too, it's an interesting parallel. It's not the Ramban's parallel, it's the Gemara's parallel, right? If you assume it's Doraisa, and that's what he quotes. So Bishlishi Shalabrachos Amru, Minayin Birchas HaTorah Fanam in HaTorah, Shenemar Kishem Hashem Ekra Havu Goda Lelokeinu, Viratza Lilmod Birchas HaMazon Lefanav Shiyem in HaTorah, Kavachomer Mizeh. Right? They even tried to prove that Brachos Rishonos would be Doraisa, since the Bracha Rishona of Birchas HaTorah is, but they concluded in the end, Birchas HaTorah Lefanav is Doraisa. Bracha of benching Birchas HaMazon la'achrav zaraisa, and those are the only two. Okay, very fascinating Ramban. What does that have to do with us? Ah, so in the very end of the piece, the Ramban says the following. Look now at number 30, at line 37. So the Ramban says, "I know you know, after discussing this so beautifully about what this mitzvah is, the Ramban says, I know what you're all going to ask. You're all going to object and say, very good, even if you disagree with the Rambam, and you think that Birchas HaTorah, right, is Mina Torah, Kishem Hashem Ekro Havu Godol Elokeinu, but still, why should it be separate in the Minyan Taryag? Why shouldn't it be counted as a part of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah? There's the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, and you should also make a bracha lefanav. That is a detail in Talmud Torah. Why does it require a separate mitzvah in the minyan taryag, such that he should criticize the Rambam? Right? That's an obvious question. So the Ramban says, Ve'ein ra'ui limnosa mitzvah achas emakriya. Right? And he gives two examples. Kemo shemikra bikurim eino nimna achas im hava'asan. Just as mikra bikurim, when you bring bikurim, right, you make a whole, proclamation. That proclamation, you could have thought, is an addendum or an introduction or a description, but simply part of the kiyama mitzvah of havas bikurim, but it's not. Mikra bikurim is an independent mitzvah, and that's one of the examples that the Ramban brings. What's the second example? The Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim im Achilas HaPesach. Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim is a proclamation that accompanies, interesting the way he says it, because it accompanies, as we know, not just Achilas HaPesach, but also Achilas Matzah and Achilas Maror. It's interesting that the Ramban links it more to Pesach than to the others. Maybe we'll discuss that as well. What?
Pesach.
What do you mean Pesach?
Pesach.
Oh, Pesach. Okay, good. Nice. I hear. But it's interesting that he can, that's an important point in its own, right? But this is the Ramban's heart. So basically what comes out of the Ramban is that there are three examples where you could have thought that an utterance, a proclamation, right, the articulation, right, of of the context, of the purpose, would have been integrated into the mitzvah itself, right? And in all three cases, they are independent. And these examples are Birchas HaTorah and Talmud Torah, Mikra Bikurim and Bikurim, and Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim and Havas Korban Pesach. So I think it's very possible, you could have said, and certainly on a conscious level, on a superficial level, this is all that the Ramban has in mind. Ramban is giving you three examples where an amira, right, a proclamation, is a separate mitzvah when it might not have been otherwise. But I think that on a much deeper level, what the Ramban is trying to tell us is that there is a connection. I can't prove this, but I'm going to show it anyway, whether he meant it or not, that there is a very strong thematic parallel between the relationship of these amiros and their ikar mitzvos, number one, but that it's also no coincidence, perhaps, that Birchas HaTorah and Talmud Torah, that Mikra Bikurim and Bikurim, and that Tzipor Yetzias Mitzrayim and Havas, Korban Pesach, have the same structure. Because in a certain sense, what we'll try to show is that there are overlaps in the themes of these three ideas. Or to put in a slightly different way, that Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, which is what I'm really interested in this evening, is interconnected with Talmud Torah and Birchas HaTorah, on the one hand, and with Mikra and Havas Bikurim, or the role of Mikra Bikurim and Havas Bikurim, as well, and that is something which sheds a lot of light on the special character and nature of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. So let me take a step back before explaining what we mean by this, to raise the obvious question. Everybody knows that one of the central themes of the evening of the Chag is Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, and we're also all aware that all year round there's a mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. Every single day, possibly twice a day, There's an obligation of Skiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. We fulfill it usually through Kriyat Shema. According to the Rambam, it's actually integrated into Kriyat Shema. The question that was raised by many of the Mefarshim is, why do you need a separate mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim on the night of the commemoration of the actual event, when every single day there's a din of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim? In what way does Sipur different from Zechira? And what is the relationship between Sipur and Zechira? The Ramban, by equating Birchas HaTorah and Talmud Torah, Mikra Bikurim and Havas Bikurim, together in parallel to Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim and Korban Pasach, right, is providing, whether you know he details it or not, an answer to that question. He's saying that you shouldn't just look at Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim as some sort of an explanation or an accompaniment or a providing of the context for, or an introduction or a way to focus your lishma or your kavana on the mitzvah itself, because if that were true, then it wouldn't be an independent mitzvah. It would be integrated into the mitzvah of matzah or maror or Korban Pesach. Indeed, of the three, Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, Mikra Bikurim, and Birchas HaTorah, probably the most established and the most uncontroversial of being a mitzvah b'fnei atzma, as we know, is Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. So if we were to understand better what it is that Birchas HaTorah does for Talmud Torah, and what Mikra Bikurim is to Bikurim, we might also better understand the role of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. But as I'm going to try to explain, I think it's more than that. I think that these Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim basically contains two overlapping themes. The idea that the theme of Bikurim connects with Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is something which is very self-evident. And again, surely not coincidental. As we know, the Haggadah, based on the language of the Mishnah, tells us that matchil bignus umesayim b'shevach. Right, you're supposed to start by emphasizing Klal Yisrael's lowly roots, the not so pleasant part of the story, right? You know, where they came from, if you will. And then the Sayim B'Shevach, right? We then develop the part which is praiseworthy, the lofty status that they achieved. And then the Mishnah says, this is the Mishnah here on Kuftazayinim and Aleph, V'doresh me'arami ovid avi ad shi'igmar kol ha'parsha kula. And you're supposed to darshan the parsha of Arami Oved Avi kol ha'parsha kula. What is the parsha of Arami Oved Avi? So as we know, that is the parsha of Mikra Bikurim. If you look at the psukim in Devarim, in Parshas Kisavo, which I think I put down here, the Torah tells us, this is on page 3, this is the parsha of Chavav, beginning of Parshas Kisavo, Vaya Kisavo al Aretz, Asher Hashem Elokecha Nosein Mecha Nachalav Yirishta, V'yashavta Va. When you enter into Eretz Yisrael, right? You will gather together the first fruits, right, the bikurim, the samta batene, and you place them in a basket of some sort, and you make the trek to Yerushalayim, to the Mokom HaMikdash. Ubasal akarna shiyab yamim ahem yamarte lov yigarati hayom la Hashem alokecha kivasi al arz hashenishba Hashem la voseinu loseis lanu. You go to the, you come to the Kohen, right, you say to him, yigarati hayom la Hashem alokecha, I have pronounced or proclaimed to Hashem alokecha kivasi al arz hashenishba Hashem la voseinu loseis lanu. And then via nisa via marta, in a kol ram, you say it out loud. Lefnei Hashem Elokecha, Arami Ovid Avi vayered Mitzrayim, vayagar Shabim seimaat vayisham legai gadol atzum varav. Vayareo asanu ha-mitzrim, vayanunu, vayitno alinu avodah kasha. This is something which, of course, we're all familiar with. The reason we're so familiar with it is from Parshas Kisavo, Mikra Bikurim. It's also because it plays a central role in the Haggadah. Vanitzak al Hashem Elokei Avoseinu, vayishma Hashem Eskolenu, vayar sanyenu, vesamalenu, veslachatzenu. Yotzeinu Hashem Yitzrayim, yad chazako, bezroi netuya, bimbora gadol, bososu bimosim. That's the end of the parsha that we darshan. This is the parsha of Mikra Bikurim, which accompanies Havas Bikurim. And this, of course, is the parsha that is darshaned according to the Mishnah in Kuf Tazayin Amid Aleph, Bidorish Merami Ovid Avi, Ad Sheyigmar, call a parsha kula, that you're supposed to darshan this. The Rambam made this diuk in the past, quotes this halacha, and does something very fascinating with it. The Rambam says, this is Perek Zayin, Halacha Dalid, page 1, number 37. The Tzarech Lahatchil, we'll get back to this Bignus L'Sayim B'Shevach, based on the Mishnah that we just read, on Kuf Tezayin of Aleph. Right, you're supposed to begin Bignus and conclude with Shevach, Ketzad. We'll get back to this Rambam in a minute. But Matchil M'Saper, you start by telling, Shebetchilo Hayav Oseinu B'Mei Terach, U'Melefanav Kofrin. We'll get back to this part, because it's very Mechudash. Originally, our forefathers were heretics, Betoin Achar HaHevel, and they were pursuing nonsense, basically. In other words, emptiness. Berotchin Achar Vanazara, right? They were chasing after idolatry. Messiahim, that's a Tchiloso Bignus, obviously. The Messiahim, the Shevach, is Bedasa Emes, how they embraced the true religion, Shekirvano Makom Lo, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought us close to, V'hivdi Lanu Minatoim, right? Sounds like the, Berachas HaTorah, V'kirvanu Le'yichudo, very beautiful language of the Rambam, he brought us close to Yichud Hashem, V'chein Matchil Umodia, at the same time, begin and start informing, Shavadam Ayinu Lepar B'Mitzrayim, our servitude, V'chol HaRosh, Egmalanu Messiahim B'nisim Niflo, Shanasalanu U'becheruseinu, and our freedom. And then the Rambam adds, "Vehu all of this sheyidrosh me'arami ovidaviad sheyigmar kala parsha." Right? And then the Rambam adds words that do not appear in the Mishnah and the Gemara, but which are very important. "V'chol amosif umarich bedrash parsha zu harei zeh meshubach." The more you darshan this parsha, the better it is. Now that in itself is an addition. Even if the Rambam tells you that the more you do it, the better it is, obviously we should take heed. I mean, the Rambam's words are sufficient to grab our attention. But it's more than that, right? The phrase, Kol Amosif Umarich Harei Zeh Meshubach, is a phrase which is very familiar to us, right? Because it's the phrase that is used by the Rambam earlier, by the Mishnah, essentially, about Sipu Yetzias Mitzrayim Kulo. Right, the Mishnah says that kol amar belasaper b'tzias Mitzrayim, right? Harei zeh meshubach. So the Rambam, who mentions this earlier, right, repeats this again, right, in connection with the drasha of the parsha of Arami Avad Avi, which is the Rambam's way of saying that in parallel, Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is taking place on several levels. Really three times the Rambam speaks, kind of, but for our purposes right now. The first one is relating the details of the story as it took place. And the second way is, which it parallels it, in every way, is darshaning the parsha of Arami Ovid Avi. So when the Ramban said that Mikra Bikurim is to Havas Bikurim, what Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is to Korban Pesach, again, I don't know if he meant this consciously or not, but is it a coincidence that Mikra Bikurim itself plays the central role, or is an equal or a parallel to the store, to relating the details of Mitzrayim, right, as the, what took place, how many miracles there were, and so on and so forth, and darshaning the story, or the parsha, of Mikra Bikurim, of Aram Yovi Davi. So the Rambam, by saying Arezim Meshubach, creates a stronger connection. The Ramban, by making the equation to Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim and Mikra Bikurim, when actually Mikra Bikurim is part of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, strengthens the connection. This link underscores two different motifs. One is the theme of Hakaras HaTov. The Rav used to speak about this a lot. The idea of Hakaras HaTov, gratitude, shevach and hodah, praise and thanksgiving, and gratitude is a very, very important theme of this evening. And the truth is that this is evident both in terms of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim itself, as well as in the parsha of Mikra Bikurim itself, and therefore in the interface and the role that Mikra Bikurim plays in Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Just to highlight that, in Mikra Bikurim, the way the Rambam quotes it in Sefer Mitzvot, that's exactly the point that he mentioned, that he emphasizes. That Mikra Bikurim, to Bikurim, is an addition of Hakaras HaTov. Look at the language of the Rambam. I'm pretty sure I quoted it here. Yes. Yes. Mitzvah Kuf Lamed Beis, on page 2, starting from, I guess, the koteret is 40, line 40, and it begins on 42. The mitzvah kuf lamed beis of Mikra Bikurim. The Rambam says, "He should sivanu." What is Mikra Bikurim? Why do we have this, proclamation that accompanies the act of bringing in Bikurim? So the Rambam says, "He should sivanu l'saper tovosav." You can already see that this is Hakaras HaTov. Tovosav. That's how we're characterizing it, right? The benefits that were bequeathed or bestowed upon us, asher heitiv lanu, a double language of tov, the hitzil osanu, and the hatzala that took place, right? Umatchil, again, this, you might have thought that you're reading about Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim here, right? But we're not. This is the mitzvah of Mikra Bikurim. Umatchil b'inyan Yaakov Avinu, umesayim b'avodas Mitzrayim, right? V'anu sam osanu, the fact that we were made to suffer, right? Uleshabcho al koze ulevakash mimenu lahat mid abracha kishiyavi abikurim v'hu amari salavan yisemarta fnei Hashem elokecha rami ovidavi uma ba'acharze, right? Uma shebacharze min haparsha kula. This language of min haparsha kula echoes in our ear from the language of the Mishnah in Psachim, right? Which said, not about Mikra Bikurim, but about the drasha, right, of Aram Yovid Avi in the context of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, Ad Sheigmar Kol HaParsha Kula. And of course it echoes in the very exciting language of the Rambam that I quoted before, when he talked about Kalamar Bahareza Meshubach, Ad Sheigmar Kol HaParsha. Right? So it's almost as if both the Ramban in his way, right, and the Rambam in his way, as they're writing about Bikurim, they're subliminally or more, right, impacted by Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, and vice versa. These are diyukim. The truth is that other mafarshim have noted, the Rav among them, that already the word Haggadah signifies the concept of Shevach, Hoda'ah, and Hakaras HaTov, and that word appears in the context of Mikra Bikurim. Why do we call the Haggadah Haggadah? Right? The Haggadah Levincha, presumably. But in the Parsha of Bikurim, we already have the same language. If you look again in the Psukim in Parshas Kisavo, this is page 3, right? You have the formulation here in Pasuk Gimel, Ubasa elakoin asher yir bayamim ahem, v'amarta elav, higadati Hayom Lashem Elokecha. Right? What is Higadati? I mean, I told, or I made a proclamation, but obviously the way the Rambam just explained it, and say for mitzvos, it sounds like it has to do with Hodah and Shevach. It's a Hakaras HaTov and a thank you, right? But the truth is that this has earlier roots. If you look at Targum Yerushalmi, this is number 19, right? 19, or 17 and 19. The Tese Levas Kahana, bring the Bikurim to the Kohen. The Ahava Memane Kohen Rav Biyome Ha'inan, who was appointed Kohen, right, in that time, right? The Tamerun lay and say to him, Odinan Vishabchinan, right? Where does it say that in the Pasuk? It doesn't say Odinan and Shabchinan. Odinan means Hoda'a, right? Thank you. Shabchinan means praise. Odinan Vishabchinan Yom Hadain Kadam Hashem Eloka Arum Alinan La'ara Dekaya Memra Dashem La'avon L'mitanlan. So a number of farshim make this ha'ara, that the language of higadati is interpreted by numerous mefarshim, not all, but a number of the later mefarshim as well, as a reference not merely to a proclamation or information, but having the connotation like the Haggadah, higadati hayom, is the same as higadata levincha, which is not merely informational, but has a certain connotation of Hakar Satov, of Shevach, and of Hodah. Indeed, the Rambam's formulation of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Haggadah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, is consistent with this as well. Not so much in Yad HaChazaka, where he talks mostly about telling the story, but if originally, again, we read Halacha Yidaled, the Sarach Lahatcha Begnusa L'Sayim B'Shevach, right? So we know that there's an element of Shevach. But in the original formulation of the Gadat Alevincha and the Mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, if you look at the Rambam in Perek Zayin Halacha Aleph, which I believe I have here somewhere, just one second, do we? Zayin Aleph? Or maybe not. I think I did. Is there Zayin Aleph anywhere? Is there? Or maybe not. Maybe not. No? Okay. Do you have it? Thank you. Here we go. What's that? Yeah. See? We can. The old-fashioned way, sometimes. That's right. The Mitzvah Saseh Shel Torah, L'saper B'nisim B'niflos, to tell of the miracles and wonderments, Shenasu L'Avoseinu B'Mitzrayim, which occurred to our forefathers, B'Leil Chamishasa B'Nisan, Shenemar Zachor Siyom HaShabbos Asher Yitzasem M'Mitzrayim. Zachor Siyom HaZeh, sorry, Asher Yitzasem M'Mitzrayim, Kemo Shenemar Zachor Siyom HaShabbos. That's a, we've spoken about that years past. If we have a chance, we'll say something more about it. Uminayin Shibalal Chamishasar. How do you know the night of the 15th? Tamalomar Vigadatol Lebincha Bayomahu, Lemor Bavrzeh, Beshashayesh, Matsumar, Munachim Lefanecha. Okay. The Alpha P, Shein Loben, Afilu Chachamim Gedolim Chayavim Lesapir Tzias Mitzrayim, Bechalamarech, Bedvarim Sheiru, Beshahayu, Areza Meshubach. That's the first time that the Rambam says Areza Meshubach. And the second parallel, as I mentioned, is the Ad Sheyigmar Kol HaParsha V'Kol HaMosef V'Marech B'Drash Parshazu Harei Zeh Mishubach. So in Perek Zayin Halacha Aleph, the Rambam speaks of the obligation of Sipur. He quotes the Pasuk of Yigadat Levincha, but he doesn't then say that there's a din of Hoda'a or Shevach. It's only implicit in Halacha Dalef V'Tzorech L'Hatchil B'Gnus V'Lasayim B'Shevach. That's a later Ha'arah. But if you look at Sefer Mitzvos, which I do have here in the Mar Mikolos, it's very up front and center. The Mitzvah HaKufnun Zayin, this is number 2224, line 2224 on page 1. HaMitzvah HaKufnun Zayin, Husha Tzivanu L'Saper B'Tzias Mitzrayim B'Leil Chamishasur B'Nisan, B'Tchilas HaLayla, Kefit Tzachus L'Shon HaMisaper, according to the, articulate or quality of the storyteller, according to his capacity for communication. The Chol Masha Yosef B'Mamar, and the more you add, in this story, B'Yarech Hadvarim B'Hagdolas Masha Osa Lanu Hashem U'Masha Osa Imanu HaMitzrim Me'Ovo V'Chamas, the terrible crimes that were visited upon us by the Mitzrim, the Eich Lokach Hashem Nikmasenu Mehem, and how the Rabbanu Shalom, revenged our honor. And here comes the words that I'm interested in: Ubahodos Lo Yisbarach Alma Shegimalanu Mechasadav Yie Yoser Tov. Right? Kolamar Bahareza Meshubach, according to the Rambam and Sefer Mitzvos, doesn't come out that way so much in Perek Zayin Halacha Aleph, but in Sefer Mitzvos, includes the language or the concept of Lehodos. Kimosha Amru Kolamarech Lisaper Mitzias Mitzrayim. Hare ze mishubach vakosat shabbat sivu hu amari yisparach vigadat halavincha bayom hahu. So here the Rambam says that vigadat halavincha and the kolamarba hareza mishubach refers not merely to recounting the story, but to the impact or triggering or engendering the feeling of shevach and hodah. So basically, what emerges is that there is a major overlapping concept between Mikra Bikurim and Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, and certainly the aspect of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim that is expressed itself through Mikra Bikurim, and that is of Hoda'ah and Sheva. We're going to explain what we mean more, what we're being Moda and Mishabeach about. Is it a coincidence that not only Mikra Bikurim and Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, but the third of the triad, of these examples, where you have these formulations that could have been integrated into the mitzvah, but in fact, according to the Ramban, are independent mitzvos, is also about Divrei Shevach Vehoda. Look once again at what we started with, right? On note, number 27, we read it before, but now we have a greater appreciation of it. Mitzvah tesvav shenitztaveinu lehodos, those are the first words, right? To praise Hashem b'chol eish shenikra b'torah. Ala tova, there's that word again, hagedola she'asalanu b'siso torah sarleinu b'hodienu amasim artsuyim lifadav shebahem ninchal chayolam haba.
Isn't that the definition of
bracha? No. I mean, not necessarily. Or not necessarily this way. Let me just contrast it with some of the other Rishonim. There's a big debate, and this is not our topic right now, so I'm just going to say it. There's a big debate about Birchas HaTorah. Is Birchas HaTorah Birchas HaMitzvah? Is Birchas HaTorah Birchas Shevach V'Hodah? There are many Rishonim who are of the opinion that Birchas HaTorah is a Birchas HaMitzvah. Now, that doesn't mean that there's no element of Shevach in it, but it's a Birchas HaMitzvah. It's a certain category. And there are nafkaminas, right? Whether something's a Birchas HaMitzvah or Birchas Shevach, the Hodah. We discussed this last year. We were talking about Kiddushin, right? The bracha that the Masada Kiddushin says, in the context of a wedding. Is that a Birchas HaMitzvah, right? Or is that a Birchas Shevach? Who should say it? Question of the Hefsek, when it should be said, right, on what conditions it should be said, can it be said after the fact too, or only prior, right? So what's fascinating about the Ramban's view of Birchas HaTorah is not only that he holds that it's Doraisa, but that he holds it's a Birchas Shevach V'Hodah, not a Birchas HaMitzvah, which makes a lot of sense, because what is the source? Kishem Hashem Ekra, Havu Godel Leilokeinu, right? When you encounter the Shem Hashem, is Talmud Torah the Shem Hashem? That, I don't want to get too deeply into Birchas HaTorah, but we'll need the parallel again in just a minute. It's fascinating. Maybe one of the reasons that the Rambam didn't think that this was a Doraisa real pasuk and that it was an Asmachta B'Alma is because what is Kishem Hashem Ekra when I pronounce the Shem of Hashem, Havu Godel Leilokeinu, we should break out in praise. What does that have to do with Talmud Torah? Talmud Torah is encountering the Shem Hashem. But I'll let out one part of the secret right now. The Ramban, in his Agdama to his Perush al Torah, the first thing that he says is that Kol HaTorah Kula Shemosav Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? Whatever that means. I mean, it has obviously a Kabbalistic significance. I think it means more than that, and I'll explain it in a couple of minutes. So I always found it very fascinating. I don't think it's a coincidence that the Ramban, I don't know which came first, you know, that doesn't matter either. But the Ramban, who thinks, you know, as he articulates in his Hakdama to this Perush al Torah, that in some sense, right, Kol HaTorah Kula Shemosav Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'll explain in a minute, in a non-mystical way, right? That same Ramban is the one who disagrees with the Rambam and says that Kishem Hashem Ekra Havu Godel Elokeinu is a real source for Birchas HaTorah. And that it's not a Birchas HaMitzvah, but it's a Birchas Shevach V'Hoda. But again, the parallel between Birchas HaTorah, Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, and Bikur Bikurim works perfectly if it's a Birchas Shevach V'Hoda, right? And especially that, you know, that it plays that kind of a role. Right? That's not a Birchas HaMitzvah, but it's an independent, that's what it contributes to the mitzvah, as we'll see. Okay. This idea of Shevach V'Hoda being a critical aspect of all of these three, and particularly of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, is something which explains many phenomena on the night of the Seder. I'll just mention two very quickly, things that we've seen in the past. The Gemara says here on Daf Kufta Zayin Amud Aleph that Omale Rav Nachman Ladaru Avde. Nachman turned to Daru Avde, his Eved, and he said to him, Avda demapikle mare lecherus. An Eved who is given his liberty. Right? He was a slave and has been freed. Right? V'yoyv lekaspa udahava. And not only that, but they gave him something, you know, to start off his new life with. Right? Kesef and Zahav. My boy lemei marle. Like, what should be his response? So the Gemara says, Amale boy la'aduye ulishmucha. The response should be one of hoda'a, again, these words again, right? And shevach. And then the Gemara says, Amale patrasan milomar manishtana. Psach niamar, that's also interesting, avadamayinu. This is the Gemara's way of saying, well, what is manishtana? Some of the Mepharshim think that manishtana isn't something that, you know, is just, you know, for the, you know, for the younger children to say at the night of the Seder, but that it is the ikar, or is an ikar part of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's really putting its finger on what manishtana laila zeh, right, mikol alalos. The Aruch HaShulchan, as I think is well known, says that manishtana laila hazeh is not a question. It's like an exclamation point, like, Manishtana halaylazeh mikol halaylos. Like, isn't, you know, this remarkably, you know, singular? Let me count the ways, you know. But the point is that what the Gemara is saying then is very profound. The Gemara says if somebody understands that an Eved is yotze lecherus, you know, boi, you know, leshvuche uladuye, right, then he understands a lot about the themes of the night. Apparently, Shevach and Hodah are not to be taken for granted. We know that in the real world, right? Even when they seem self-evident, they're often not forthcoming, sadly. But more than that, as we'll discuss, the concept of Shevach and Hodah isn't just a superficial one. It isn't just being aware of, you know, used to be a slave and you know, now things are better, right? The Shevach and Hodah represent a certain profound understanding about, you know, your changed circumstances and the opportunity that they provide and the hashkacha which went into it. I'll explain that in just a couple of minutes. Okay, so our first theme, which is reflected by the overlap of these elements, is the theme of Shevach and Hoda'a, which appears pervasively in all three, and overlaps. The second theme and I'll try to put these two together in just a minute, is the theme of Talmud Torah itself. This is, again, something that the Rav used to speak about. You know, he had his own rayas for this, and I'll try to add just a little bit more and take it a little bit of a different direction. In particular, the notion of Talmud Torah, the Rav used to point out, is very central in the Haggadah. You know, if you look at the text of the Haggadah, Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu, right, Baruch Shenasan Torah La'amo Yisrael Baruch Hu, right, Keneged Arba Banim, you know, Dibra Torah, Echad Kacham, Echad Rasha, right, Echad Tam, Echad Sheni Adea Lish'ol. What is that whole section really about? So the Rav thought that the words Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu, Baruch Shenasan Torah La'amo Yisrael Baruch Hu, Keneged Arba Banim, is really a form of Birchas HaTorah. It's really the content of Birchas HaTorah. So, of course, that's very fascinating, and once again, you know, in light of our framework for this evening, which is that the Ramban is telling you that Birchas HaTorah requires, right, a separate mitzvah in the Minyan Taryag, just like Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim requires a separate Minyan in Minyan Taryag, even though there's something called Meth Pesach, or Matzah, or Mara. So if part of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is itself a Birchas HaTorah, right, just like, as we already demonstrated a couple of minutes ago, that the theme of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, like Birchas HaTorah and like Mikra Bikurim, is Shevach and Hodah, so once again, the parallel is reinforced, the parallel is strengthened. Reb Chaim, and you know, Peirush that is attributed to him by, in a number of different places, suggests, you know, that Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu, Keneged Arba Banim Dibra Torah, Echad Kacham, Echad Rasha, Echad Tam, Echad Shein Yodea Lishol, is really a very profound statement about the scope and the significance of Talmud Torah. And, I would add, by extension, something very important in understanding Birchas HaTorah. After all, says Reb Chaim, where do you find a text, right, which can really appeal to such a range of potential audiences? Echad Chacham, Echad Rasha, Echad Tam, Echad Shein Yodea Lishol, right? We're all familiar with different types of works, right? There are, you know, works that are written for beginners, you know, and then there are very abstruse, very abstract, very profound works, you know, which require, you know, in some cases, decades of preparation, you know, to appreciate. And, of course, there's a lot in between. A classic, I've said this in the past, is often a work that is written on multiple levels, you know, that can be understood. You could read, Rashi could be read by Tinoko Shabbos Rabban, you know, and Rashi could be read by the most sophisticated, you know, Talmud Chacham, you know, who continue to find, you know, new meanings in it. Same is true of the Rambam, right? The Rambam was written in a very, Yad HaChazaka at least, is written in a very accessible Hebrew. You know, it's incredibly well organized. To read the words of Yad HaChazaka is not difficult at all, right? But the more you've invested, you know, in the topic, you know, the more you extract, you know, the more you can mine, you know, the organization of the Rambam, every word, every turn of a phrase. What we're trying to do tonight, a little bit, both in the Ramban and in the Rambam, is to read what they say, but then also to see the deeper, you know, interconnections between the texts. To me, it's a very fascinating, very inspirational kind of a thing. What is true for the classics, you know, in literature, and even more so the classics in rabbinic literature, is of course ultimately true, especially for the divine text. You know, the Rabbeinu Shalom was able to write a Torah, b'shivim lashon, you know, ba'er heitev b'shivim lashon. In a sense, that's what the Ramban means when he speaks about the Torah as being Shemosav, right, Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I said a moment ago that I would give a non-mystical And surely there is also a mystical explanation, don't get me wrong. But I don't think you need necessarily a mystical explanation. What is a shame? A shame is a point of access. A shame is an identification, essentially. You know, when you call me by my name, it's a way of relating to me. And the name, in halakha we say, Shmo Gorem, when you give a name, right? The name that you give often, right, reflects aspirations, respect. You name a child, right, after a beloved relative, somebody who's, or a beloved mentor or figure, somebody whose legacy is meaningful, and you hope it reflects your aspirations and values and priorities, and you hope that it will be an inspiration, you know, to a child to carry, you know, such a name. Not a burden, but a challenge, you know, and something to, as I say, to aspire towards. So when we speak of the Torah as being Shemosav Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what the Ramban is really saying is Hafokba Hafokba Dekulaba, in this idea, which is that the Torah is deep, it's profound. You know, if you look at it this way, you look at it that way, you look at its context, you look at the connections, the smichot aparshios, the language, you know, the drushos, it's infinitely complex, and it's infinitely accessible. Every time you learn it, you find something new in it. It's Shmosav Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's the way that we relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's really the answer, I've said this many times, to the philosophical problem of how does puny man, you know, who can barely even relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, in terms of even describing him, you know, crudely, what the Rambam calls the problem of negative attributes or negative theology. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so, you know, transcendent and beyond us that we can't even use language properly. But the gift that we've been given, and that's the ultimate source for Shevach and Hodah, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a text which for all intents and purposes is Shemosav Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It gives us a way to relate to and to connect to him, and in a meaningful way, by calling him a name or multiple names, right? And the different Shemos Hashem are different manifestations or expressions of his transcendent presence in the physical and in the material world. So in a sense, Torah is Shemosav Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when we say Kishem Hashem Ekra Havu Goda Lalokeinu, when you encounter the Torah, which is the dinim, the values, all of which reflect our purpose and our the way in which we connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just like a name is an access point and a way to connect, Havu Goda Lalokeinu, we should be deeply appreciative of that opportunity. So in a sense, we say Baruch HaMakom in Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim Baruch Hu, right? Keneged Arba Banim Dibra Torah, Echad Chacham, Echad Rasha, Echad Tam, Echad Shadeh L'Shal. Despite the tremendous scope and the different challenges of those different Banim, each of them has Asher Bachar Banu Mikalo Amim, right? Each of them has a Chelek in Torah. The Torah can be meaningful if you let it, even for the Rasha, and even for the Tam, and even for the Eni Odeya. Each one is an incredibly different kind of a challenge. And of course, you know, for the Chacham. So the range of the Torah is part of the Birchas HaTorah, because that's part of Shemosav Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So in the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, we begin, in a way, with that. And how does it manifest the most? How does this Birchas HaTorah and this Limud HaTorah express? The answer is, first and foremost, in different ways, but first and foremost, by being Doresh, Parshas, Arami, Oved, Avi, Mikra Bikurim. The Drasha, which of course is the integration of Torah Shebech Tzav, and it's taking the words of Torah Shebech Tzav, being medayik them, right? You know, attaching tremendous significance to every, you know, to every usage, in some cases to the spelling, right? Shemosan Shalakadosh Baruch Hu, darshaning every word as if it is literally Shem Hashem, and like Shem Hashem, encountering different aspects of the values in Hashem's world through the Torah, right? All of that is done through the method of drasha, and so on. So being Doresh Arami Oved Avi, this the Rabbi used to say as well. I'm definitely embellishing and elaborating how these things connect and whatever, but the idea of Birchas HaTorah leading to Arami Oved Avi, something that the Rabbi used to express. So what I'm suggesting is it's the Keneged Arba Banim, as Reb Chaim interpreted, in the sense of Hafoch Bo Dekula Bo, the range, but then it's the Drasha of Arami Oved Avi, which is the act of Talmud Torah. And of course it's not the only act of Talmud Torah. We know that the whole discussion in the Haggadah about what took place after Chatzos until the morning, according to many of the Mepharshim, is also an act of Talmud Torah that is part of the special din of Leil HaSeder. Debate among the Tanaim whether Sipur Tzitzis Mitzrayim really finishes at Chatzos, or it finishes in the morning and it goes on Kol HaLaila. But the story, of course, is that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah and others, they stayed up all night, you know, until the Talmidim came and knocked on their door in the morning, right, and told them that it was man Kriya Shema shel Shacharis. So if you hold that technically Sipur Tzitzis Mitzrayim ends at Chatzos, so then you have an issue. What was going on from Chatzos to the morning? So the Tosefta, and many of the Mepharshim point this out, seems to say that they were learning all night, that they were involved in Hilchos HaPesach all of the evening, almost like a takeoff or an extension of the of the role of the Chacham, right? The Chacham is told Emor lo kehilchos HaPesach, right? Ein maftir nachar HaPesach afikoman. According to many Mepharshim, him you do the Talmud Torah part, the Halachos. But either way, the idea is that the learning part is both Talmud Torah, but it's also connected and a different aspect of Sipur Tzitzis Mitzrayim. That part doesn't end at Chatzos. I always thought, and this is my speculation and my interpretation, and maybe it's Drush, I'm not sure. Maybe someone out there says it, I don't know. But it's very fascinating when you look at the at a number of Gemaras, when they want to speak about Talmud Torah, and especially the Chiyuv of Talmud Torah, they speak about it in terms of Iboy Paternafshe Bekriyashma Shachris V'Arvis. Right, the Gemara says in Menachos, that there's a debate whether or not, you have to, Bagisa Vayama Balayla means you should be learning day and night, or it means you should be learning in the day and you should be learning at night. Right? So the Gemara says, that this is Machlokas, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, parallel Gemara, but the opposite Shitos in Masechet Brachos, Yasafta de Ganecha. But we'll leave the tales for another point. But the Gemara says also in Nedarim that if a person says, HaOmer, the Gemara says in Nedarim, Daf Chesam Aleph, HaOmer Eshkam, the Eshna, Paragzu Halachazu, right? A person makes a Shvua. He says, I'm going to learn this Parak, this Halacha, right? Neder Godol Nadar Leloke Yisrael. So it's a wonderful Neder. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? It should be a waste of breath. Because Hamujba Vyomedhu, the Torah says Vagisa Vayama Vala, says Yoshua Vagisa Vayama Valaila. So you're supposed to be learning, all the time. So what's the big deal? You made a shvua that you're gonna, Ashkin Vyashna Paragzem, Mishnazu, right? It's a wasted shvua because it's Mujba Vyomed Me'ar Sinai. So the Gemara says, No. Ibai Paternafshe Vikriyashma Shachris V'Arvis. And there's different debate among the Rishonim what exactly that means. But the point is, and I think I mentioned this earlier as well, that when the Gemara in Brachos Daf Yud Aleph speaks about Birchas HaTorah, the Gemara also seems to say that, this is a discussion in the Yerushalmi also, if you didn't say Birchas HaTorah, you can get away with the Bracha on Kriyashma. Right? In general, when it says B'shach B'chol V'kumecha, that seems to be connected to the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. So I always thought, maybe this is Jewish, maybe not, but when the Talmidim came, in the morning and they knocked on their door and they said, Yigi Azman, Kriyash Mashal Shacharis, what they were saying was, especially according to the Mepharshim who say, based on the Tosefta, they're all like they were involved in Talmud Torah, right? That part of Sipur Tzitzis Mitzrayim. not the story part, in other words, but the Talmud Torah part. So they were saying to them, you know, now it's time, it's a different time phase now, it's a different time frame. Now is time, Igiya Zman, Kriyashma, Shal Shachris, right? The Shachbacha, Uvkumecha, Iboy Patranashe, Be Kriyashma, Shachris, Be Arbis, meaning that session has ended, you know, it's time to terminate that and to move on to the next phase. The point is, in the shorter part of the story, is that the idea of Talmud Torah and Birchas HaTorah plays a very central role in Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, that it is expressed through a kind of Birchas HaTorah, right, parallel number one of the Ramban, and it is particularly manifest in the drashos of Arami Oved Avi, namely the Parsha of Bikurim, which is the other parallel of the Ramban, in the drashos that connect Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebaal Peh.
The Birchas HaTorah is not on the entirety of the Torah, it's because you're darshan psukim from Arami Oved Avi.
Okay.
It's a hakdama to that Parsha.
Right, right, right.
Not on the totality of Torah. Is that,
I didn't say there was.
No, it's not like giving the Shevach that the Rebbe Shem gave us.
No. I was saying that. That's what I was saying about the Ramban's explanation of why Birchas HaTorah is a separate mitzvah from Talmud Torah, even though he compares that to Mikra Bikurim and Havas Bikurim and Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim and Korban
Pesach. I don't understand the Ramban at all, because Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is totally disconnected from the Korban Pesach. Today, we have no Korban Pesach.
Yeah, so he means the right, but we still have the idea of the Korban Pesach. The Korban Pesach is still a very important role.
There's no Mikra Bikurim today because we have no Bikurim.
Okay.
If somebody were a Gerz, maybe the Korei.
Right.
Right, but he's not Korei, somebody that Korei.
Okay, so all you're proving is that it's not a perfect parallel, because there can be situations where you can have one without the other, and in some cases, and not the other. Oh, but he doesn't. The Ramban isn't bothered by that. The Ramban is just trying to say that when, you know, when we have them, they operate, or the articulation part isn't just a hakdama, and it's not just a description, but it's a kiyum b'fnei atzmo. That's all he said. Whether that kiyum b'fnei atzmo can exist, you know, without the other part, that's a different story. You don't say Birchas HaTorah without Talmud Torah either, right? So you do say Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim without Korban Pesach. Fine. It's a ha'ara.
If you have no possibility of learning Torah, can you still make a Birchas HaTorah?
No. So why didn't you? I'm just saying. Why didn't you ask that? You were asking. Yes. There's no Bikur Bikurim without Avos Bikurim. You could have easily just asked.
But
there's no Birchas HaTorah without Talmud Torah.
No,
but there is Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim without Korban Pesach. Right. So there's one aspect in which this parallel for the Ramban doesn't work. But that doesn't mean that it's not a good parallel. It just means that there's a greater practical linkage between one of the three than the other two of the three. Okay. Anyways, what we've seen so far is, now this idea, of course, is part of the story of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim itself. Because as we say in the Dayenus, and as we understand, you know, throughout, Hayom Hazeh Niyei Salaam, that the whole Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, right, would have been, you know, an exercise in futility, you know, if it wasn't for the fact that it was oriented and directed toward a much greater good, which of course is the connection between Pesach and Shavuos and the Sfiras HaOmer that binds them together, namely Kabbalas HaTorah, the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is connected very much to Maimed Har Sinai and Kabbalas HaTorah. So the idea that Mikra Bikurim and Avos Bikurim is connected to Talmud Torah, because, of course, that's part of the story of Eretz Yisrael. And the idea that Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, Yetzias Mitzrayim, is for the sake of the tachlis of Kabbalas HaTorah is consistent with this theme of Birchas HaTorah and Talmud Torah in the Haggadah itself. The concept of Cheirus, which is the more approximate focus of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, is connected to that as well. After all, you know, when people speak of you know, Chag HaMatzos or Chag HaPesach as the Chag HaCheirus, so it's important for them to understand what Cheirus means in Jewish terms. Right? In secular terms, when you speak about Cheirus, you're talking about political liberty. and you're talking about freedom, which is synonymous with being unconstrained. In other words, having no limitations. Being basically autonomous, right? And having to answer only to your own will. That is the typical, that's the universal concept of liberty. When man sacrifices liberty to some extent, he does so, let's say in the social context, etc. He does so out of a recognition that, you know, efficiency demands of him, you know, cooperation, giving up some liberty for the sake of a corporate compact. What's that?
Order.
Preventing chaos. It's very much what we spoke about in our Sanhedrin Hakdama, where we talked about law, right? Law in Jewish terms is very principled and ideal and represents transcendent values. And law for Bnei Noach is more about stability and, you know, a social compact and efficiency and so on. But the Jewish notion of chayrus, again, you know, when you read in the New York Times, or, you know, the president makes his, you know, perfunctory, you know, pre-Pesach, you know, message to the Jewish people, you know, it's all about, political liberty, you know, and autonomy, and so on. And the truth is, we live in an era in which, this aspect of liberty and the notion of any kind of constraints being only for the sake of stability, order, and efficiency is beginning to have very negative repercussions and creating a lot of problems for Jews in modern liberated societies. But of course, the Jewish concept of chayrus is ein ben chorin ela mi she'osek b'torah b'mitzvos. It's the sense of having a purposive life, a life which allows for autonomy, for free choice, but for choosing a disciplined life. A life which is empowered, you know, by transcendent values. That's what Ein Ben Chorin Ela Misha Osek B'Toru B'Mitzvos is really all about. Chorus Alamuchos. And this, of course, is the idea of Chametz. The Issa Chametz is a negation of unrestrained or unrestricted growth. As we've said many times, the connection to Shavuos is so critical because it's only in the holiday of Shavuos that you can bring a korban shtei alechem, a korban of chametz, in the Beis HaMikdash. Typically, throughout the year, there's no chametz in the Mikdash, but there's chametz in our homes. On Pesach, right, we adopt an even more stringent standard, precisely because it's a time in which we became unshackled in terms of our autonomy. It became even more critically important, right, to acknowledge that Ein Ben Chorin Ela Misha Osek B'Torah B'Mitzvos, that we need to impose limits, Ushmartem Es HaMatzos. And then in the time of Shavuos, which is the time of Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim, in the context of accepting the entire Torah, there can be a Korban Shtei Alechem. And that's when the ultimate Chayrus really converges together as one. It's Hallelu Avdei Hashem, right? Velo Avdei Paro. The Aruch HaShulchan is a very nice comment where, you know, he talks about, as others do, you know, why the Maror? So is the Maror Vayimaru Eschayehem, is it only about the contrast, you know, to the Matzah? Meaning, it's all about, Matchilim Bignusim Simon B'Shevach, and, you know, the high that is even higher because we revisit that low. That's certainly one of the aspects of Maror. But he's bothered by the order. Pesach, Matzah, Maror. It should really be the other way, right? So the Aruch HaShulchan is a very nice, there are many answers to this question, but the Aruch HaShulchan is a very nice pshat, among others. Again, the Chasam Sofer is a beautiful pshat too. I think it's Chasam Sofer, which he says that, you know, you don't really fully appreciate Merirus until you are Ben Chorin. Once you're Ben Chorin, and then you revisit, you know, your servitude, you really understand the Maror better. But for our purposes today, I want to emphasize Aruch HaShulchan, who says in a bit of a different way. Aruch HaShulchan says the experience of being an Ebed wasn't completely negative. There is a positive aspect to it, because it would be important for Klal Yisrael to cultivate the Midah of self-restraint and being, you know, mishabed themselves, laviyam shabashamayim. So of course, hallelu avde Hashem, velo avde paro. You know, it becomes even more intolerant to think that you lose your autonomy, you know, to the whim of some autocratic, you know, a dictatorial person who, you know, doesn't stand for values, you know, that are transcendent and are certainly very far from that. But the experience of being an Eved, in a way, you know, that capacity, let's say, you know, to rein in your ego, right, and to see, you know, the interests of others, is something that can be channeled with Tovat, and therefore it's Pesach, Matzah, Moror, even if the Moror part of an experience is channeled, you know, to being Avdei Hashem. And in this sense, this idea of Cheiros, it's part of the story of La'aduye and L'shvuche, the Hodah and the Shevach, meaning it isn't just about the superficial appreciation of being liberated, you know, from the yoke of oppression and even of tyranny. Rather, the concept of Hodah and of Shevach is one which connotes the appreciation that this Cheirus is goal-oriented and is dedicated towards cultivating a personality, right, who's worthy of transcendence. And that, I think, is very much a part of the story of Shevach v'Hoda'ah, of Talmud Torah, and even of Emunah, which is the story of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Indeed, the Maharal is a very beautiful discussion about the different phrases that the Torah uses in Parshas Mikra Bikurim and Devarim, as well as in some of the Psukim and Shemos. Right, he points out that, you know, they're really Vayavidu Bahem Befarech, you know, is not the same as Vayimaru Eschayehem. And that, you know, Mishibud Legula is different than Me'afela Leora. That there are overlapping dimensions to slavery, and therefore there are multiple dimensions of liberty and of autonomy. So, of course, on one level, it's Vayavidu Bahem Befarech. You know, simply back-breaking labor, physical labor, being under the, you know, practical control of others is very debilitating, you know, physically, and also it's demoralizing. But Vayimaru Eschayehem, says the Maharal, you know, which has the, you know, antidote of, you know, Me'afela, I'm sorry, Vayimaru Eschayehem of Abel Yom Tov, is about a sense of purpose. You know, a person is Vayimaru, embittered, not because of back-breaking labor, right? That has its own impact. But bitterness, or avelus, is about losing a purpose in life. And that's why Yom Tov is the antidote to avelus. But afela is quite a different level. The Maharal says that afela is like an ubar b'me'e imo. It's like a child who's dependent. It's like the child in the womb, which doesn't have an independent existence because of its dependent status. And Klal Yisrael, through the Cheirus in Mitzrayim, didn't just become free of the yoke of Paro, Misim, Shibud, but it became Mafela Laora, developed for the first time a sense of independent existence so that it could then focus its energy on being an Am Hashem, you know, and having a higher purpose, you know, which justifies life itself, which makes life meaningful. And in that sense, it's very important to go back to the language of the Rambam when he talks about Matchilin Bignus U'Mesayimin B'Shevach. Here the Rambam says, in Perek Zayin Halacha Dalid, very beautifully, V'tzarech L'Hatchil Bignus U'Mesayim B'Shevach, right? So we would have thought, there's a debate in the Gemara between Rav and Shmuel, whether we begin the Haggadah with Avadim Hayinu, or what we should say in Matkil Bignus Mesayim Shevach. Is it Avadim Hayinu Lefara B'Mitzrayim? Or is it Mitchila Ovdei Avadazara Hayu Avosein? And what we do is we begin with Avodah Mayinu, right? But we also say Mitchila Ovdei Avodah Zarah, and some of the Farshim are bothered by that, why we say both, why we don't paskin like one over the other, and so on. But the Rambam's formulation is even more intriguing. The Rambam here in Perek Zayin, Halacha Dalid, line 37, says, V'tzarach l'hatchil b'gnusa l'sayim b'shevach. Instead of beginning with Avodah Mayinu, which is what we do, and which is what the Rambam did too. If you look at the Rambam's Haggadah, you like ours, same text, he starts Avodah Mayinu. Only later on does he go back to Mitchila Ovdei Avodah Zarah. But when he presents it, what's fascinating is, he says, Ketzad, Matchil Mesaper Shebitchila, Hayu Avoseinu B'mei Terach, U'milefanav, Kofrim, Betoin Achara Hevel, V'rodfim Achre Avodah Zarah. For some reason, the Rambam begins talking about our, you know, less than reputable past in which we were Ovdei Avodah Zarah. Right? And again, speaks very beautifully about Umesayim Bedasa Emes, Shekirvanu Hamakom Lo, Behimti Lanu Minatoim, Bekirvanu Li Yichudo. Beautiful language about finding purpose, religious purpose, in the world. And then he says, V'chein matchil modia shavana mayinu leparo v'chol arosh egmalanu mesayim benisim beniflos shenasalanu u'becheruseinu. That's very strange. And the Mepharshim speak about why the Rambam does this. Makes it seem that, you know, we paskin like both, and that we paskin like both in the wrong order. But I think that the answer is as follows. What the Rambam really wants to tell us is, don't think that just because we start with Avodah Mayinu, and just because the focus of the evening is Zman Cheruseinu, don't think that the Odinan and Shabchinan, that the Hodah and the Shevach, is about political liberty. And don't think it's just about autonomy, and don't think it's just about casting off the shackles of tyranny and servitude. It is about all those things. But in the end of the day, that wouldn't constitute the kind of Shevach and Hodah that would require a Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, and that would echo every single day in a Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. Because we understand that Ein Ben Chorin Alamisha Osek B'Torah B'Mitzvos, that true liberty is about having the purpose in life, and it's about being focused, and it's about the aspiration of having some sort of connection with the Rabbonu Shel Olam, Shemosav Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because that's really what the Cheirus was about. So the Rambam says, you should know, we start with Avodah Mayinu. Look in my Haggadah. But even the Avodah Mayinu really is about, right, the aspiration of Matchilim Bignusim, Misayim B'Shevach, of Matchilim B'Tchilas Ovdei Avodah Zarah, Hayu Avoseinu, the Kervanu Hamakom, Lo, Ladas Ha'emes. And therefore, what better way to express that than through the Shevach V'Hodah of Mikra Bikurim, which itself is a form of Talmud Torah, and which requires I see my time is up, so I was going to say a lot more things. Let me just say one more thing. A Birchas HaTorah. And in this sense, the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, which accomplishes all of these themes, is truly an accompaniment, although a separate kiyum, to the Korban of Korban Pesach. Because as we've discussed in other years, and we're not going to have a chance to discuss it this year, because our time is up, the Korban Pesach is a Korban of Emunah. And many of its special features, the fact that a Benechar is excluded, that an Orel is excluded, the whole connection b'damayi chayi between Dam Mila and Dam Pesach, everything about Korban Pesach, Sheshachatu Es Eloheim Le'eneim, is all about Kirvanu Ladas Hamakom. So we understand, based on the just profound comment, I hope I'm not making too much of it, but it doesn't really matter, because the themes, I think, stand in their own right. When the Ramban says that, you know, there's a parallel between Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim and Korban Pesach, and between Birchas HaTorah and Talmud Torah, and between Mikra Bikurim and Bikurim, the overlapping of these three themes in establishing Shevach V'Hodah, the theme that this is accomplished best through the medium of Talmud Torah, but by recognizing what Talmud Torah and what Torah mitzvahs themselves are really all about, and that the chairus and opportunities that are provided are not just about autonomy in the narrowest and crudest sense, but about the capacity really of providing a meaningful foundation for life, that we can appreciate that indeed Sipritzias Mitzrayim, like Mikra Bikurim, like Birchas HaTorah, is a mitzvah bifnei atzma, one which of course enhances each of the triad of Rabbi Gamliel, Pesach, Matzah, Marah, but one which really highlights the idea of l'shabuche ule oduye in a manner that is truly profound. So I want to wish everybody a Chag Kasher v'Sameach, and we should appreciate you know, the opportunity of the Seder and Yimei Achelus.